Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Rock Off here, and I've got an interview for you today with Kadri Flash. Had an awesome time talking with him. We talk about GoRuck, how we got involved with it, and then we get into the Snowdrop events, which are a yearly fundraising event for the Snowdrop charity. He's run this multiple years in a row. Rooney asked him to join up 4 years ago. He's run it the past 3 years, and he's running it again this year, now that Rooney is no longer with us. And I'm just really excited and I'm just really thankful that there are Kadri out there like Flash who will take an event like this, which might have possibly disappeared with Rooney, and keep running it. And this is the first year actually that it's not a custom event. So GoRuck's putting it on officially, which is pretty cool. And just like previous years, 100% of the proceeds are going to Snowdrop. So very fun stuff. If you've heard Flash on the Flash and Datoma podcast, then you probably know a bit about him, or if you've done an event with him. He's done over 240, I think, GoRuck events as of recording this. So I know a lot of people have done events with him. There's some swearing in this episode, but it's not that crass compared to maybe their Flash and Datoma podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. And this is the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 111. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting the All Day Rock Off podcast. I truly appreciate it. And another thank you to everyone who supports on Patreon. Truly appreciate that as well. I really hope you enjoy this episode with Kadri Flash. And here's the interview.
I do the events twofold, right? So like I do the events one because I am a better human being for doing them and you know, on the level that I'm doing it on. And then the participants help me out by keeping me from like starting a pistol, right? So like, yeah, sure, I have school and that keeps me focused. And then I have family, which, you know, also keeps me very focused. But, you know, it's nice to have, you know, that one extra thing that keeps you engaged in life and having purpose, right? So like doing the GoRuck events gives me this major amount of purpose. And then the second reason I do the events is because, you know, I might not reach out to everyone, and every participant, you know, every participant probably doesn't like me. In fact, if every participant likes me, then I actually freaking suck. And I know there's people that don't like me. That's fine. You know, we're not supposed to all get along. But the ones that I do, that I am able to reach out to and help, that's awesome. That is just knowing that you impacted someone else's life is just, man, that just hits you right in the feels, you know? That didn't mean to get so deep.
No, that's good. And the way you described it, you know, family and you've got school and then you've got this, you know, GoRuck. It's interesting to hear it broken out like that. And I think that probably resonates with a lot of people because you can have, you know, everything going on and you're, I don't know, if you don't have something else that you're training up for or looking to improve on, it just kind of feels like there's something a little missing. So
don't limit yourself on the things that give you purpose in life, you know, find those things that give you purpose and then you know, attach yourself to them as much as you can.
Absolutely. So when you started out working for GoRuck, did you think that you would end up running this many events or being around for this long?
So when I finally decided to work for GoRuck, so Big Daddy, you know, his name was always going to be synonymous with GoRuck, right? Like you can't eliminate that guy from GoRuck. It's part of, you know, GoRuck history. And a lot of him is still in the culture, right? So like I was doing the recon challenge and Big Daddy came up to me and he's like, "Hey man, you're going to work for GoRuck." And I said, "Screw you, get away from me." I'd never heard of GoRuck. So I didn't want to like, don't waste my time with your silly civilian crap, you know, cause I still had like, you know, 3 years left on my contract. And that wasn't like, I wasn't thinking about a second job. I was thinking about like doing the job I had now. And he said I was going to do it. And then like a month went by at my job that I had and I was just miserable. The people I worked with were horrible and they just didn't care about much. You know, they were very self-absorbed, selfish. And it wasn't actually the last job I did in the military. It was this short stint at a job that doesn't exist, right? So a month goes by, and finally I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go check out this GORUCK thing. Maybe it'll be something to motivate me. And I called Bo. For those of you that don't know, Bo's back with the company. And now I don't know. We're not really told as cadre. We're kind of not always in the loop. Sorry. It is what it is. So I call Bo and I'm like, what's this GORUCK thing? And he goes, there's an event tonight in San Diego. You should go check it out. And I was like, well, screw it. So I showed up and, stayed for the tough, stayed for the light. And I was like, I'm sold. And, after that, I was actually like, yep, I think GORUCK's going to be with me for a long time. And then, before I even got hired on, I was like telling people, hey, I'm a cadre. And, you know, that's it. I'm it. And after I did my first, I think maybe like 5 events, I decided that no matter what, I will always stay with GORUCK until GORUCK fucks me. You know what I'm saying? I know I say that a lot, but, I will stay with GORUCK as long as GORUCK never fucks me. Cause I love the people way too much. And I love, you know, the participants are really what keep me, they really keep me motivated. So there we go. 5 years and 240 plus events later.
Yeah. Ton of events. And I was just about to ask what year that was that you joined up, because, you know, Cadre Bo, that's ages ago.
I think it was, what year? 19, 18, 17, maybe 2013, 2014.
So I was thinking 2013, 2014. I mean, it had been, like you said, you know, being kept in the loop and stuff. I hadn't heard his name in years. And then I saw his name just show up on the GRT reunion 5-year event page. And so it's kind of a blast from the past.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I like Bo a lot. So we'll see. Bo's got a lot of spirit, you know, got a lot of spirit.
So what was it about that first event, do you think, that, you know, kind of drew you in and you said, yep, I'm going to be doing this?
So I knew I was going to be transitioning from the military to civilian life. And, you know, and I already kind of started it with the Navy command I was in. And I didn't want to be the guy that, like, lives at the VFW when you retire. Like, the guy that's like, hey, I'm, you know, just drunk at the VFW every night. So I knew I had to find something that still kept that, like, kind of military mindset, and something that would keep me physically fit. Because I have a lot of friends that they do 20 plus years and then they die within like 2 or 3 years of retiring, because they just, it's like they lose all their purpose in life, you know, like family will get you through it. And, you know, like a job will get you through it. But like having, like we mentioned earlier, having as many things to give you purpose in life is what helps you out. Not, don't just tie yourself onto one thing. So, knowing that and thinking that, and I am a planner through and through when it comes to longevity, right? So I always have, I think of it as a range, right? So when you're at the range, you have your 1 meter targets, your 5 meter targets, your 10 meter, 15 meter, and then all the way out until you're like going to sniper range, right? So your 1 mile target. So like your 1 meter targets is like today. Today's my 1 meter target. And my 5 meter targets is like this week, right? And you could keep going on. And then like your sniper ranges, which is like, you know, your 1,000 yards or whatever, that's like my 5 or 10 year plan. So I knew then my 5 or 10 year plan, I needed something to keep me motivated. So doing the GORUCK thing, I was like, man, this is it. This is the jam right here. I constantly will have contact with my military friends, and I'm able to lead people in an area that I'm intimately familiar with, which is, you know, the physical fitness while doing arduous type of endurance events. So I think that was it. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned 240 plus events. You've done a lot of events around the country, a lot of different types of events. Do you have a favorite type of event that you run? I mean, do you prefer lights, tufts? Do you prefer the special events? I mean, is there something where when it shows up on your cadre event selector, you put your name in right away for it?
So, I mean, you know about snowdrops. So snowdrop is now my number one, hands down number one event, right? Snowdrop is the foundation started to help kids with cancer. And it's not just the cool thing about it is it's not just the cancer research, which sure, we need cancer research, but like, how can we actually help the individual lives of the kids that have cancer and their families, right? So Snowdrop found a way, they started a nonprofit and they raised money for scholarships for kids that survived their cancer because they're not put in the same, they're not able to compete against like normal kids, right? So one, they get this, they have this chance for the scholarship to go to college after they've survived cancer and have this normal life, you know, for the rest of their time. And the other thing that they do is they also help supplement the families once they find out that their child has cancer. Like, well, the things that we don't think about, if you've never had a child with cancer, which I never have, and I hope I never have, and I don't wish it on anyone, but what the things you don't think about is now your child's probably in the hospital all the time. And if your hospital's your child's in the hospital all the time, you're gonna want to be there with your child all the time. So you're probably gonna have to quit your job, which means you're not gonna have any money to pay, you know, your house or your food or whatnot. So Snowdrop also helps supplement the families on those individual finances. So it's a great organization. In 98 cents on the dollar goes straight to what they say they are, which is unlike most nonprofits. Where this foundation, it's all volunteer and 98% goes towards the families and the kids. So so Snowdrop, we do it in September, the end of September, usually the last week of the month. This year we got to do it the third week of September, and it's a light and a scavenger. It's always been a custom event until this year, and thanks to Emily McCarthy, and she decided that 100% proceeds for the light and the scavenger are going to go towards Snowdrop. And it's not a regular light or a tuff that you would think about, or light or scavenger like you would think about, because with the light, I have knocker ball set up and we do like kickball, and we have some of the kids there that either have cancer or are survivors or scholarship recipients, and then we have families there. So it's more like recess or like a family day, than it is like a regular go ruck light. I mean, you might ruck 5 miles total during the Snowdrop light. And that's cause Rob's the other cadre for it. He likes to ruck a little bit. I usually stay behind and get the knockerball stuff ready. And then the scavenger is really cool. We all dress up. Every year we dress up like something. This year is going to be 80s theme. Last year was German theme, because Oktoberfest. And at the end of the scavenger, we actually do a auction. And there is, I can't tell you everything that we're auctioning off because I just don't know. But there's always something unique auctioned off. Last year, or the year before, I think it was 2 years ago, I auctioned off one of the flags I flew in Afghanistan. I only flew 8 flags in my entire Marine Corps career, and they were all in Afghanistan, and I decided to auction one of those off with a certificate. We've auctioned off, like, cadre patches. I've auctioned off camis before that I've used in like, Iraq and Afghanistan, some gear. There's always something unique that we'll auction. And then I think this year someone's talking about possibly getting a custom made rifle. So I don't know. Hopefully we can get max participation and there's some really cool things that we can auction. And then all that money is going to go to our Snowdrop also. So that's my favorite event year round. But like, there's not really, I don't know. HTLs take a lot of work out of me. I don't like events that are super small. Like if it's like, I love people, but like if it's just 6 people at a tough, we will have a great time, but we just have a better time with like 30 or 40 people, right? So I hope I probably roundabouted your question.
No, it's good. It's good because I wanted to get into Snowdrop. I mean, that was one of the main reasons why.
Segue.
Yeah, great segue. Main reasons why I wanted to have this call. I mean, 2 years ago, about this time, maybe. No, I think it was about this time. I was chatting it up with Rooney about Snowdrop for that year when he was, you know, talking about the custom event he's putting on, the stuff they're getting together to raffle off the, you know, the charity and what it really meant to him. And then he did that 2 years ago. And then last year for Snowdrop, if I remember correctly, you were there running the event with him. Is that right?
Yeah. I've done it every year for the last 4 years, I think. 4 years now. I think this will be the, either this will be the fourth year, or I've done it for 4 years. So last year was, you know, just, we this is when we found out that he had cancer. The year, and we dressed up Oktoberfest. The year before that, we did a Tough of Light and a Scab, and I almost died that event. And thank God for shitty coffee. I was really tired, drank too much, and a couple of the guys saved my life and brought me back with this, like, probably 10-year-old crappy coffee at this crappy bar called Jim. It's not even a crappy. It's a good bar, but at this bar called Jim's, and yeah, that was fun. And then the year before that, we did the fire department, I believe. So yeah. So this will be the fourth year that I've been with Snowdrop. And Rooney asked me to do it. I'd never met Rooney, but I knew he was big on the Ingress events. When the Ingress events first started about five years ago. Like 4.5 years ago. And he was doing an event in San Diego. And anytime there is a cadre doing an event that's near me, I will drive. I'll stop everything I'm doing and I'll drive out to meet them, you know? So like, I think it's important that we as cadre have camaraderie also and support each other. And we do that, like, not all the cadre do it. I mean, I wish they did, but I think all the cadre, if there's a cadre that comes local to your area, like stop what you're doing and go meet that person. So I did that. And I was only going to hang out with Rooney for like 15 or 20 minutes during his Ingress event. And, you know, I just started talking to him. I was like, shit, I really need to know this guy. So I stayed with him during his whole 12-hour event. And he was like, hey, man, can you be the cadre for my Snowdrop custom event? I was like, shit, yeah, man. I'm anything that's for you, I'm here. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was always so much fun hanging out with him. And same boat, he came out and ran an event. It was a while ago. I think the last event he ran in the Seattle area, and I had stuff going on the whole weekend, so I couldn't take part in the event, but I had part of Friday night free, like after 10 o'clock or something. And so I just figured out where he was. I was like, man, I have to go hang out with Rooney if he's going to be in town. Yeah. Gotta spend time with him. And it's funny. I actually talked to him about the Ingress events because I was curious, right? Because Rooney picked up a ton of the Ingress events.
Yeah, he was. Well, he wrote the SOP on it too, like for the cadre. Like, I think when GoRuck picked up that contract or whatever, I think it was like this. I think there was a lot of like, well, what the hell do we do as cadre? And Rooney like really, you know, picked up the pieces on that and really made it work, right?
Yeah, he did. It was funny because I found this funny. I was talking to him about that, and I was wondering, you know, what drove him to get involved in Ingress, because I really didn't know about Ingress until GoRuck started doing the events. And he was telling me that when the contract and stuff was coming through, he saw the locations and it was a bunch of international locations. And he's like, I can figure out this phone game.
Yeah.
I can travel internationally for running events. That cracked me up.
That makes sense. Well, that and he probably didn't tell you, but he's a freaking closet. He was a closet nerd. When it came to tech stuff. It is hard for cadre to get international events. And if you build yourself an event, you know, you're pretty much set.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I'm sure that there's a long list for people who want paid travel across the ocean. So, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I mean, my full-time job, I work in software development, and every now and then he would see something and he'd know the reference. I was like, man, it's like, this guy knows a little bit more than he's letting on.
Oh yeah. He was super nerd. Super, super nerd, which is cool. I mean, we all have our little quirks, you know. I'm not a super nerd with computers, but I love playing video games, and I love like Star Wars and like sci-fi stuff. So I wish I was technologically savvy like Josh was. I could start the computer. I can use a Word doc. I can research stuff. I could type, and I can look for porn. That's pretty much that's my talent.
The essentials.
I don't even know how to look for porn, to be honest. Not even good at that.
I'm glad that you're running Snowdrop again this year. Like you mentioned, it's not a traditional light event. The SCAV might be, you know, a little more traditional because SCAV events are SCAV events, but the light's definitely more unique than your traditional light. Do you know what the reasoning was behind turning this from a custom event into a standard GORC event that's going to be on the calendar?
So it's always been a custom event. But to be honest, it's, you know, GORC's a really, it's a busy company. There's a lot of things going on. But like in the past, it was such a pain in the ass for Josh to establish a custom event. Like, I don't know, it was like pulling teeth just to get, you know, just to get the event like patches or like whatever. Like there's, I think it was like 3 years ago, like at one point it was like, Josh was like, screw it. We'll just do the event. If we don't have patches, doesn't matter. Just get up here. And it was, and I was like, well, shoot, I'll just get my own freaking flight. And I think it's just growing pains with a business, you know? So then this year, it was January, we started reaching out to headquarters, and Ragnar in particular. And it was like, hey man, like instead of going through these like aches and pains, let's just make this event a GORC event like anything else. And we didn't even ask for proceeds to go towards the event. In fact, we were like, hey, you know, GORC will get the proceeds. And we just won't get as much donated this year, but it'll also be easier on us, especially, you know, since we don't know if Josh is going to make it to that point. We wanted to make it where it wasn't something that he had to think about. So that was another reason why, like, I took it over, because I was like, hey, I don't want Josh to think about it. You know, let him rest and hopefully, you know, get through this. And I don't have the time to really go through the amount of work that Josh has put into it every single year. So through talking through headquarters, eventually they said, yeah, we'll make it an actual GORC event. Thankful for Emily, she eventually was like, hey, you know, like this is a really important event. So let's go ahead and take care of it. And, as long as I'm continuing my passion with it, then I think GORC's going to constantly support it. Just like anything else in a business, if you have someone that's really invested in something, that business is going to find a way to help you make it work. So yeah, I hope that answered it.
For sure. And custom events are a ton of work to put on, or so it would appear from everyone I've talked to who has put on custom events.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It shouldn't be that way. Like if anyone at headquarters, GORC headquarters is listening, that's an area that needs help, you know? I don't know. I will say though, for all of those people listening that want to do a custom event, do the custom event. It's so worth it. Like I've done two weddings that were princess bride themed, and they were amazing. I've done some custom events that are definitely, you know, my favorite events ever. Cause you know, when you do a custom event, if you're the one organizing it, yes, you have to have the money up front. Which can be a little bit of stress, but what you get at the end is you get whatever you want the event to do. That's what's going to happen. So if you want it Princess Bride theme and you want the cadre to dress up like Grandpa, well, guess what? I'm going to dress up like Grandpa and I'm going to do the Princess Bride theme, you know, or Princess Bride event, you know? So custom events are worth it. And then, like, if anyone is having, if they want to do a custom event and they're having a hard time with headquarters, they can always reach out to me, you know, like, I don't mind helping people for anything.
And one of the bonuses to running custom events is that, I mean, everyone there, the custom event, they know what to expect, that it's going to be that themed. It's going to be, you know, that style, because, well, for the most part, I hear Datoma's run a couple custom events that have surprised a few people. But for the most part, it's going to be something that everyone's going to be on the same page about. And so you don't have a random group of people showing up and you're like, all right, we're going to theme it this way. It's everyone's got the same purpose and the same mindset. And, you know, everyone going to Snowdrop this year knows it's going to be for the Snowdrop event. It's not a Gorok Light event. And then everyone shows up and you're like, hey, this is Snowdrop. It's going to be way different than any other light. You know, it's a Snowdrop light.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you, my favorite events to do are usually the custom events, because the themed events are fun. I plan a little bit more for the themed events, of course, because you want it to match. You know, I like to match the theme with whatever, you know. So like Moog Mile, right? So like I'd like to theme Moog Mile as if you're living it throughout the whole event. So, you know, you start out at Ranger School and then you go forth and go on until eventually you're running the Moog Mile at the end, right? So same with like the historical events. I like to make it so you're living like Lexington Concord and in the Boston Massacre and whatnot. So I'm trying to make the participants live through it. So I get to do that with themed events, but custom events, I'm actually, instead of me figuring everything out, like I have whoever the organizer is, like I'm emailing that guy left and right, you know, usually months before the event, until we come up with some really cool elaborate plan, right? So custom events are fun for me. And I get to know whoever organizes it. I get an intimate relationship with that person because I'm talking to that person so much.
There you have it. If you want an intimate relationship with Cadre Flash, you know where to go.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So Snowdrop this year, you said September 21st is the light. I'm guessing the SCAV, is that happening that same day, just in the afternoon?
Yes. The Gorok Snowdrop light starts at 09 on the 21st. And we'll do that for like 4 or 5 hours. And then I'll give people a couple hours to unwind and change if they want to put like different clothes on. You know, I'm going to have probably two different themed clothes, and I'm sure other people want to also, so that's fine.
So if you're dressing up, there's time to change.
Yeah, because dressing up is cool, you know, and like, why not like take advantage of it and dress up two different outfits? So I'll give them time. Then we'll start the scavenger at like 1400 or something like that. And we'll do that for 4 hours and then do the auction. But on the 20th, the day before, there is a group of individuals. And if any of you listening want to join this, there's a group of individuals led by Doug Schwerin, and they're going to ruck from Chicago where Josh Rooney enlisted, like from the same location he enlisted in the Army. They're going to ruck from there to Madison, Wisconsin, where Josh Rooney got his college degree, and they're going to ruck all the way up to Appleton, Wisconsin, where Josh grew up and ended up passing away. So it'll be really cool. The last day on the 20th, I'm going to publish all this also, but around 1700, where everyone's going to link up with those people that ruck from Chicago to Madison to Appleton, and we're going to all do the last 5 miles together, whoever wants to join, of course. So we're going to pretty much shut down the city and do the last 5 miles with as many people as possible. So it'll be cool.
So for those people who don't have an intimate relationship with the Midwest, Chicago to Madison, to
Appleton. So it's about 252 miles.
No biggie.
Yeah, nah, no big deal, man. Like easy peasy.
Yeah. I just pulled it up on Google Maps and it's quite the distance. I have family out there and in Milwaukee. We've been over to Madison a bit and kind of near Appleton. And so I just remember driving around and thinking that it was kind of far. And you just confirmed that with the 253 miles. It's kind of far.
Yeah. It'll be cool. And I know Doug's going to start pushing it some more because I think they want to leave on that Monday or Tuesday, maybe the Monday. And then they're going to do it in teams of two. They're going to do two vans, I think. And I think they're only going to do 3 miles per leg. So you'll never ruck more than 3 miles. That way you're not completely smoked, you know. I'm not sure what the weight they're going to do. But I think he has right now he has eight people that are going to join in. And they definitely can use more. So if anyone has the time, just the time, we'll provide the energy. So if you just have the time, we will provide the energy. And you just got to show up and help out and look out for Doug's post because I think he's going to be publishing it soon. I know we've been talking about him. So
awesome.
Cool. It's going to be called the Rooney Ruck. The Rooney Ruck. Yeah.
And so you mentioned teams of two. So it's not going to be everyone rucking 253 miles. It's going to be kind of a Ragnar style leapfrog where someone's going to do three, the next team member's going to be three. Okay. And then you have these breaks. And
yeah. As long as those two rucks, the two rucks are going to ruck the whole way. The two rucks will be, they'll be walked the whole way. Yeah. And then the last 5 miles, you know, if we have 200 people out there rocking the last 5 miles, then awesome. That's what we're going to do. But the last 5 miles will be everyone's invited.
Perfect. So if you're going to be in that area for anything, not even just a snowdrop, check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We'll end at some bar and, you know, probably the bar that was by Josh's house and drink it up in his honor. And then wake up the next morning, dress up your favorite 80s character and rock and roll with some knocker balls and whatnot.
I saw the patches for this year. They look amazing.
Yeah, they're really cool. So a guy named Ryan is the one that does he's done every patch design since I've been with the Snowdrop event. And he does an excellent job. Last year it was it looked like a beer sign. And then this year is, as you can tell, 80s themed.
Yeah, I'll also put a picture in the show notes if anyone's curious what it looks like. But, I mean, it is a sweet-looking patch.
It'll be cool. I hope you come out. Got to get you out of Seattle for a little bit.
Yeah, I wish. It's actually the day my sister's getting married, and I'm in the wedding. So they might notice my absence. If I wasn't, maybe just a little bit. Yeah. But I remember I was watching the GoRuck site when the event hit and I checked. I was like, gosh, that's like that date looks really familiar, but I don't know why. And then I was grabbing something to eat and I closed the refrigerator and the invites, you know, right there with a magnet on the refrigerator. I was like, that's why.
I think I remember you actually saying something. I think we talked about it. And, you know, we were actually going to do it September, the last weekend of September, because we like to keep it with Oktoberfest, right?
Right.
During Oktoberfest in Appleton, it's actually a huge, this huge thing, and they shut down the streets, and it's just awesome, man. There's like cool food and, you know, just cool things to see. But I couldn't do it because a new cadre with GoRuck is retiring that weekend, and he is one of my best friends, and there is no way I'm missing his retirement, and there's no way I'm missing Snowdrop. So I had to make it work so I can do both.
Who's the new cadre with GoRuck?
Cadre Clay. He's awesome. If you get a chance to do an event with him, the dude is one of my favorite human beings. He has saved my life a few times. He's one of the ones that are deep in my heart, you know. So
I'll have to look out for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's another passionate cadre, right? So he's I'll never say there's bad cadre, but there's some that are much more passionate than others. And he's one of the ones that's much more passionate.
Good to know. And it looks like you'll be doing an event with him September 6th in Alabama.
Yeah, so we're going to do the 9/11 event in Huntsville, Alabama. I pushed that one hard. I pushed that one hard. We had like, I think we had like 20 participants in each event, and I was like, hey, check it out. I need 70 freaking participants and to get Clay out here, and we did, so.
That's great.
I'm appreciative of the Go Ruck community because I talked Clay into joining or being a cadre, but I've never done an event with him. So
I just pulled him up on the cadre tracker and I saw that he was going to be there. I was like, hey, it looks like a same weekend you're going to be there. So I'm glad that you got that to work out. Good job, Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah.
Well, I found that if you want something, you make it happen yourself. Don't wait for someone else. Don't ask. You know, don't ask. I'm not going to ask people, hey, can I do an event with Clay? No, I'm going to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to get to enough participants where I need a second cadre. And I'm going to tell Go Ruck, this is who I want to work with. So it's like anything else in life. If you want something, you know, make it happen yourself. Sure, you can ask for help, but, you know, you make it happen. You develop a plan. You develop the scenario that it's going to accomplish. Or be accomplished and make it happen yourself, you know, make it happen, Captain.
That's good advice. So is there anything that we might have missed talking about Snowdrop? I mean, we've got the date. It's September 21st. We've got what it is. It's going to be a very custom style light followed by a couple hours later, a scav so you can change costumes.
Yeah. Bring your cash or bring your credit cards for the auction. There'll be some really cool stuff. I think this year I'm really debating on auctioning off one of my chest harnesses that I had when I was in recon, like 12 years ago. It still works very well. It's very solid. And I'm also thinking about auctioning off a brand new pair of Cry Position camis, which those things are not cheap at all.
Not at all.
No, and then there's a bunch of other people are going to auction things off too, and then I have a couple of Rooney's old patches that he used to give out, and I might auction those up also. So yeah, there'll definitely be stuff for people, really cool stuff for people to bid on.
Yeah, and previous years there's been a lot of people I know traveling in for it. So there's still plenty of time to plan your trip to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we've had people as far as Japan and Germany come out for Snowdrop, and they said they have loved every minute of it. It's the most fun event that Go Ruck puts on. I guarantee it.
I believe it. I mean, looking at the pictures from previous years, I absolutely believe it. And I just gotta say, I'm so glad that. You know, the event's coming back. You know, sounds like it'll be back year over year, at least as long as you're here running it and Gark's still putting it on.
As long as nobody ever screws me over, that event's going to be there until I die.
So at this point, I realized we had gotten through pretty much all of the information on Snowdrop, and we still both had plenty of time left to talk. So I figured I would just ask Flash what he had going on. So the next bit of the podcast is just us talking about what Flash is up to and some of his thoughts on Go Ruck and Go Ruck events. Hope you enjoy it. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I don't know. What we got going on?
Not really much else. I mean, if you want to know more about me, you know, do an event with me. I love meeting new people. I love hanging out with people I already know. I will tell you, and I tell everyone, I am not better than anyone else. I am not worse than anybody else. But I have a very extremely unique life from growing up extremely poor, not eating every single day to dropping out of high school, to being homeless, to joining the Marine Corps, to being a special operator, to now eventually next year I will hopefully receive my Juris Doctorate. And among my other degrees, I have master's, bachelor's, associates and whatnot, but you know, come a long way from where I started to where I am now. And if that can possibly inspire you, then awesome. But don't take it as me thinking that I'm better than anyone, because I would never ever think that. Yeah.
And if you want to hear more from me, you can find you on the Flash into Tilma podcast.
Yeah. I think we just published one, actually.
You did.
Yeah, from the event that didn't happen in San Francisco, the bachelor party. That was a good time. That was a really good time. I haven't listened to it, and in fact, I have not listened to a single podcast that we have published. So I don't know how much of an idiot I sound like.
It's tough. I mean, I hate the, you know. The hardest part when I started this was listening to the sound of my own voice editing this. And, you know, it'd feel good to just hang up the call and ship it.
Yeah. I thankfully I have Datoma. He actually reviews every podcast for any classified material per se. And, so that's, I always know that, you know, I'm not, so much. At first I was concerned, like, man, I'm gonna sound like an idiot. I hate my voice. I think everyone hates their own voice, right? Unless you're like, I don't know,
a singer maybe.
What's the guy's name that played that was actually Darth Vader? But one of these actors with like these deep voices or whatnot, like, sure, maybe they enjoy it, but I think 95% of the nation or 95% of the world hates their own voice when they hear it. But I didn't really concern myself too much about that. It was more of like, did I say anything stupid? Like, are people going to think of me like, man, that guy really is dumb? So I don't know. So the sound bites more than the sound itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got some stories in there. I went back to the first episode and started from there. And I think you made a comment at one point where it was, you know, is anyone really going to go back and listen to these old episodes? I just remember thinking, yep, they will.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. I think you said it on Shredder's, like, hey man, once this shit's published, it's out there forever.
Yeah.
So whatever. I mean, you know, the more I think about it, if people judge me on things I've said, then you probably don't know me anyway. So, I mean, judge me all you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, what does all of it really matter? Just have fun.
Yeah. Have fun and don't be a douchebag, right? Like, life is so easy. Like, be a decent human being. Judge people on their character, not their freaking category. And if you can't get along with people, then mind your own freaking business, right? So, I don't know. Hopefully people go out of their way to help other people and be the best version of themselves, right? Kind of like GORUCK teaches participants.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, whether Jason realizes it or not, whether the other candidate realizes it or not, at the end of the day, what things like GORUCK and other experiences, what it's doing is it's trying to create the best version of yourself, depending on how you take those experiences, right? So,
absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, it drives home just trying to, I don't know if be a better person, but be a more
aware. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what that's the other thing experience does for us, is it makes us more aware. Like, you know, when like people are like, hey, you have a sixth sense on certain things. It's not that people have a sixth sense. They've experienced that same situation in the past and they probably don't remember the experience. But their body already has this defense mechanism, and that's why they, you know, do X, Y, or Z. So,
yeah, that's so true.
I will try not to get too nerdy in the leadership scholar world. Which I'm not that nerdy on. That's my master's in organizational leadership, and it was such a fun degree to acquire. But I am not. I don't know if I can ever do a PhD because like doing that type of research and writing is not the most fun thing for me.
Fun, and did you say that was organizational leadership? Pairing that word next to fun is not something that I would probably do.
I will say I had a lot of fun going through the program. The thesis is a little consuming, and thank God for my very dear friend Katrine, Maki. She is amazing. Because there is definitely times where I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore. And she'd be like, well, you got to focus the structure this way, right? So it was very, very helpful. But other than that, like the degree itself was fun. Like there's a lot of concepts that I learned academically that I'd already been portraying in the past, and I just never knew what it meant. So and then I did. So and I try to bring that to my events too. So I don't pick team leaders for events. So look, I know a lot of you guys that are listening have probably done an event with me. I mean, shit, I've done 240 events 5 years. Most likely you've probably done an event with me. If not, please do. But I don't pick team leaders for events because I feel like leadership will rise when it needs to. But I do try to go out of the way to teach some type of leadership skill that you can take with you back to your job, whether it's the CEO for a company or a barista for Starbucks or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's always something that you can bring back to your civilian life. Don't just leave GORUCK and GORUCK. Try to take that and bring it out and translate it to whatever world you live in.
Yeah, and I mean, I found personally thinking about it that way, you end up taking just a ton away from the events more than the physical beatdown and the team cohesiveness that you built, but you can take things that you can apply to, I mean, almost any position that you can work in, as long as you're working with other people, right?
Absolutely. Even if you're working alone, like there's always ways that you can go. Well, like say you're a solo engineer, and that you work alone and you never deal with people and you do the events just to deal with people. But, you can also find ways where you're like not motivated about one project and you're like, well, hey, I wasn't motivated about carrying this freaking log and I accomplished it, so I can accomplish this. Right. So, I mean, that's the most simple way to translate it. I mean, there's definitely other ways, but yeah, absolutely. You can use it for anything.
That's a good way of looking at it. I mean, my mind jumped immediately to when you're working alone, then you start talking to yourself. And so you can motivate yourself that way. It turns into a team of you and yourself, but.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that also, like so when I'm working out, like I'm in pain a lot, just because of prior whatever injuries. And there's times where I'm like, I'm going for a run and I'm like yelling at myself. Like I've got people that live in my neighborhood. Like that is the weirdest dude ever. Cause I'll be like, you can do it. Come on. Don't stop. Hurry up. Like I'm yelling to myself. So whatever.
I think that happens to all of us in some regards. Sometimes I'll be working on something and it'll be just really upsetting me and I'll end up talking to myself and yelling at whatever, and I'll get a message from my wife and she'll say, hey, when you get off that call, can you come out here for a minute? I'm like, I'm not on a call. She's like, then who are you talking to?
That's so awesome. I think most of us do it. I mean, my wife, but there's times where my wife's like having full-on conversations with herself and I'm like, she'll be quiet for a while, like, are you off the phone now? She's like, I wasn't on the phone. Okay. I think we all do it. I mean, it's. I don't think it's unhealthy is my point. I don't think it's unhealthy at all.
No, I hope not, because I do it. So I.
Yeah, exactly. I do catch myself, like, I do force myself and I force my family, like it's cool to be stressed out. It's cool to, kind of motivate yourself. Just don't let those like little things be the stressor. You know what I mean? Like the silly things like, the electricity's out. It's the end of the world. Well, it's not the end of the world. Like, or hey, like Domino's doesn't have this type of pizza I want. Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, it's the first world. I call them first world problems. So as long as I don't let those stress me out, all the other stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm good to go. Traffic. I don't let traffic bother me. I'm not late because I plan ahead. If you're that guy that's in traffic and you're like, freaking go, come on. Well, like you should have known better than to leave like the last minute to make it to work. Like the way society is now, and it's not just, I don't care what city you live in, you do not have the worst drivers. Every city has the worst drivers. Because I go everywhere in the world, right? And I see it. Like, people just have, like, to obtain a driver's license, the most simple thing you can do in the U.S., it's almost like voting now. You're like, hey, you turn 16. Go ahead. Go drive your half-ton vehicle that can kill people. No big deal. So, like, don't be the one that's all freaked out and stressed out. Just be aware of your surroundings. Stay calm when you're driving. And always leave a little early, because there's going to be that person that gets in an accident because they were texting and driving. So plan ahead, right? And if you show up to work early, do some burpees. Better yourself.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a ruck in your trunk, pull it out. Take a little ruck.
Yeah. Something. Just don't stress when you're driving. It's not healthy for anyone. That's a first world problem right there.
Yeah. I mean, it truly is. Like, can you believe that it's taking me this long to drive my really expensive car on these really fancy roads to get all these miles to, you know, whatever fancy appointment or whatever I've got going on? It's like, gosh, life is hard.
Yeah. To this job in this air conditioning where they pay me money. Ah.
Life sucks, man.
Yeah. So horrible. Even if you have a crappy job, you know, like, I don't know, just chill out on the roads. You know, we got enough. There's enough things to stress out in life. Don't freak out on the roads.
I think that, you know, GORUCK events help me keep those in check a little bit. It's like, oh, you know, the rice is going to be done late on the rice cooker. It's like, well, at least we got a rice cooker and
and I'm rice.
Yeah. And rice and water
and water. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like life's not that bad, you know?
No, exactly. Exactly. Could it be better? Sure, but I'm the pilot of my own destiny. So if it's not better, it's because of me, not because of someone else.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 111. You can get to the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/111. Or you can hit up your app if you're listening to this in a podcast app. Usually the show notes are in there. Thank you, Kadri Flash, for taking the time to talk with me. I had a great time, and I know we've been trying to get this together for a while. I'm glad we were finally able to do it, and I'm sure that he'll be back again sometime in the future. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. I would love it if you would take a couple minutes to leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. You can search for All Day Ruck Off. And they're so awesome to read, and I really do appreciate them. If you want to support the podcast in other ways, you can always visit the store, alldayruckoff.com/store, for lots of rucking related gear and other things like that. Or you can support through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff, or there's a link there in the show notes as well. I really appreciate you downloading this, and I wanted to give a special shout out to Daniel for supporting through Patreon. I really appreciate that, and it means a lot. Thank you. I can't wait to talk to you all next week, because we've got a great episode together with Kevin, where we talk about how he completed not one, but two different double heavy events. GORUCK has teased adding the double heavy as a standard event to the calendar. Up until this point, they've all been custom events, so I'm really thankful that he took the time to talk to me about those events, and you can hear all about that next Thursday. Thank you for listening, subscribing, all the support, and as always, don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.